Well, we have a very special treat this morning. Some people will come to Real Church and be like, I've never even heard the pastor preach. And David's like, yeah. He read a book a while back, and it was basically the lead pastor walked into the church that he started, and it was a huge church. He walked in, and people were like, is this your first time here? And he's like, no, I've been before. And David was like, that's my goal, because he's so passionate about raising up leaders and people to carry the ministry of God. You know, it is the job of the leaders of the church to equip the saints to do the works of ministry. And some of those works are teaching. Some of those works are delivering an encouraging message and helping us take steps forward in our faith. Amen. And so he's in Kentucky. Raise your hand if you were here for the Making Disciples event a couple of months ago. Okay, several people were here for that event. So David actually went to Kentucky to Bart's brother's church, I believe. Bart Stamper's brother's church, and they're doing a Making Disciples event, and he's preaching right now. So that's where he is. Again, his bread and butter. He's training people to go out and make disciples. You are all invited to do that with our team, Belong. I'll tell you a little bit about it later. But so today, I'm not preaching. So that's what I was waiting on. Thanks, Kelly. So today, one of my best friends, we call her Nana. All the kids call her Nana. Heidi Hunter is going to be bringing the word. So let's honor her this morning.
Am I on? Am I live? Thank you, baby, for standing up for me. That was amazing. Good job. Can you grab me my water really quick? Thanks. It's right there. He said, that's mine. Well, you just wait till you hear what I'm preaching. Good morning, everyone. So my name is Heidi, and I've hosted a little bit. So if you come to church on time, God bless you, brother. Great place to sneeze. I love sneezing in church. Anyway, if you come on time, or you might hear me during communion, so I do get to host sometimes, and the Lord today has something to say to you. And for some reason, he gave me the platform to say it. Which a lot of you don't know me, but some of you do. So that's pretty heavy. But what I really like is he gave me the platform without the pastor. I mean, I've got Courtney, but she's my girl, you know. Where's my glasses? Before we pray, I thought it was really cool that the Holy Spirit kind of set everything up for me, because I'm going to tell you what you sang. So, sometimes I don't think we actually listen to what we say, what we're saying to the Lord, what we're giving the Lord. And one of the things we said is, we live for you. We sang it loud. We live for you. Holy, there's no one like you. There's none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder, God. Show me who you are and fill me. And you even said, lead me. Y'all gave a lot of permission to the Holy Spirit today, and it's good, because he's got something to say to you. But then, this is the best one. You said, I will build my life upon you. You said that. That's a declaration that you made, and I am so excited to see it. Now listen, also before we pray, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I went to Georgia this week, and I was driving home yesterday, and every single time I tried to pray for today, I would just start crying. And it wasn't an I'm afraid cry. It was like the heart of God cry. It was like Jesus weeping over the body of Christ because he wants us to know some stuff about who we are. So to confirm that, when I was getting ready, he told me to put on waterproof mascara, which I didn't want to put on because I bought this really cool mascara, but it's not waterproof and it makes these little tubey things. So he's like, all right, if you want little tubey things all over your face when you start crying. So who knows what God's going to do? I'm just going to ask everybody to stand up again. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and lift your hands to the Lord. And I'm just going to pray. Lord, we thank you for today, Lord. God, I honor you. We honor you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Open our eyes, Lord, to see you. Open our ears, God, to hear your word. I pray for divine intervention, Holy Spirit. We give you permission to have your way in us today. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you said it again, so. I've been walking with the Lord a long time, but man, I don't really even know. First of all, how much time do I have? I mean, there's a clock back there. Do we know? Okay, there's no time limit. That's what I heard. So God's been walking me through a lot of stuff, but what I really want to share, and I'm not putting a plug in for Real Church, but I can tell you that the leadership of this church and the heart of your pastors is for God's people to know and understand their identity and who they are. In him, not in what you say, not in what the world says, in him. And it's so important. We've been on this journey for 5 years, and I've been following the Lord for a while. Here it comes. And this isn't about me, but God has done, I don't even know who I am. About 3 years ago, the Lord told me, because I used to be kind of controlling. And the Lord told me so clear one day, he said, it's not about you. And for some reason, like I know that and you hear it, but for some reason, I knew it that day. And it set me radically free. And I was like, man, Pastor David, I got this revelation. What is it? It's not about me. He's like, praise the Lord. My husband's like, praise. Right? And I thought that was it. That was the beginning. That was the beginning of walking out, it's not about you. It was so freeing. So I have been on this journey, and especially recently, and time gets all wonky with me, but the most recent journey has just really been digging me deep into humility. And I love that God had Mariah Mullins preach the other week. How about that? Honor message. And even before that, her husband Gabe preached on humility. I didn't even realize it. I'm like, well, we're getting another one, but I don't even know if it's going to end up like that anyway, because that's what God does. So it kind of goes hand in hand, because all of that to me is just such a key to what God is doing in the body of Christ and what he wants to do in your life. And I'll tell you a little bit more in a minute. And you know, God, if you will let the Lord work in you, he'll do it. He wants your yes. That's all, your yes. Yes, Lord. The first thing that God showed me about humility is, you know, the first thing we have to do is just look at Jesus. Look at what he did. It's really simple. We just look at Jesus. So I can only imagine Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit talking one day up in the, where they are. And, you know, they see what's going on and they're like, man, how are we going to make this right? Like, how are we going to put this all back together? I mean, can you just imagine that conversation? I heard Dan Moeller say it one time and it was hilarious. But he was saying, like, God's like, Jesus, we're going to have to send you. And Jesus is like, no, bro. Like, why do I got to go? And the Holy Spirit's, you got to go because then I got to come and I got to go in them. But if you think about it, too, that Jesus, who is God, chose to humble himself and come to us in the form of a fetus inside a woman's body and be born 100% dependent on his mother. 100% dependent on the people that he's going to have to whip into shape in a little bit. 100%. He was God, and he came through the birth canal. I'm sorry, but that's a lot. I mean, he was God, but he did that because he loves you. You know, I imagine, and you know, all the religious people, everybody thought, oh, he's going to have on this white gown and come on his white stallion, and he's going to have his crown. It's not God. Like, it's so different than what we think. So I realized a long time ago that the first thing I had to do was follow what Jesus did. I'm going to be reading scripture in the Passion Translation. Apparently, we don't have that translation on our stuff, so it's not going to match up there. But the first scripture I wanted to read was Philippians 2, 6 through 8. He existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. So he chose to humble himself in the form of a man, and not just a man, but he chose to come into the world in the same exact way a man does, through a woman. And again, the God of the universe came that way. And it was his choice. So his first choice was to humbly come to serve you and me in the way he came. Just in the way he came. That was the very, very first thing he did. He lived his life as one that continually put everyone else first. All through scripture, he served. That's what he did. That's all he did. He laid his life down for the one. The one that was in front of him, for the God that he served. How did Jesus do it? Sorry. John 5:19 in the Passion. Jesus said, I speak to you eternal truth. The Son is unable to do anything from himself or through his own initiative. I only do the works that I see the Father doing. For the Son does the same works as his Father. This was Jesus talking. So that means that's what you need to say. John 15, 1 through 8. I got to look this one up. You guys should look it up too. I just really have been reading in the Passion Translation and I just really love it. And you know, I'm one of those... Everything's got to be safe, you know, so I'm like constantly doing that compare with my ESV version just to make sure. And it's pretty spot on. All right, John 15, 1 through 8. I'm going to read this in the Passion. I am the true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. Again, this is Jesus speaking. So you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch served from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined with mine. I am the sprouting vine, and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify God the Father. If you go back to the end of verse 5, he says, I'm the sprouting vine, and you are my branches. As you live in union with me, your source of fruitfulness will stream from within you, but when you live separated from me, you are powerless. A more familiar version says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we always look at, you know, Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everybody knows that? Raise your hand if you know that. Raise your hand if you know the song. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? And that is true. Anything that he asks us to do, anything that he calls us to do, we can do through him. But when you partner that with John 15:5, that says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And I was thinking about that the other day, and I thought, man, we know that we can do all things, and usually we remember that when it's something we can't do. Well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, praise the Lord. But he wants me to know that apart from him, I can do nothing. So to me, that's saying the things that I feel confident in, the things that I feel like I'm good at, the things that I think that I know, which I'm finding out I don't really know a whole lot. Apart from him, apart from abiding in him, I can't do it. It doesn't matter how good I think I can. I can't do it. You would think that I wouldn't be thirsty because I talk so much, but when I'm up here talking, I get so thirsty. It is what it is. I'm going to read this really quick, and I'm just going to throw these scriptures out because I had a clump of scriptures that talk about what Jesus did. So you don't have to look these up because I'm going to fling through it, and you don't have them back there. The Son can do nothing of himself, John 5:19. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will. This is Jesus. That's John 5:30. I do not receive glory from men, John 5:41. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, John 6:38. My teaching is not mine, John 7:16. I have not come of myself, John 7:28. I do nothing on my own initiative, John 8:28. I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me, John 8:42. I do not seek my glory, John 8:50. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, John 14:10. And the word which you hear is not mine, John 14:24. That's just a couple. Like, I was getting so overwhelmed with all of the scripture about serving because there's so much. I didn't know where to go with it. Romans 15:1-3 in the Passion says, now those who are mature in their faith can easily be recognized, for they don't live to please themselves, but have learned to patiently embrace others in their immaturity. Our goal must be to empower others to do what is right and good for them, and to bring them into spiritual maturity. For not even the most powerful one of all, the Anointed One, lived to please himself. His life fulfilled the scripture that says, all the insults of those who insulted you fall upon me. Let Christ's mindset motivate you, not society. I know, I think Mariah or somebody brought this up recently, but everything is about self. Or they'll say, you know, I do me, you do you. You worry about you, I'll worry about me. It's all about my wants, needs, desires. seeing how many pictures I can take of myself. My life should be 100% focused on others. Why? Because that's where the focus was for Jesus. It's not a hard message. I mean, I get to do the easy ones. Walking it out is... I'll tell you about that too. Luke 14:11 in the Passion, just with Jesus, he said, "Remember this, everyone with a lofty opinion of who he is and who seeks to raise himself up will be publicly humbled. And everyone with a modest opinion of who he is and chooses to humble himself will be raised up before all." One of the most powerful things that the Lord has been showing me is that I call it a key. Humility unlocks something in the spiritual realm. Humility is like this key that you have to find. That's how it's been for me. And that's what I'm here to share with you. What he's showing me. It completely unlocks the fruit of the Spirit. There's one fruit, but there's a lot of benefits. Peace, patience, kindness, all of them. I don't know them all by heart. I'm learning them though because he's walking me through them. In Luke 9:23 and 24, Jesus said to his followers, "If you truly desire to be my disciple, you must disown your life completely. Embrace my cross as your own and surrender to my ways. For if you choose self-sacrifice, giving up your lives for my glory, you will discover true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you will lose what you try to keep." This is a tough message, but there's so much life in it. And I have to share it with you because I'm experiencing it. I'm walking it out. One of the first ways I started serving was in the church. Even though a lot of you don't know me. I forgot about that. But you might have heard part of the story. Or Courtney, you've told it. Courtney's so good to tell the story about how I didn't like people. And Pastor David, we're sitting at my kitchen table, and he's like, "Man, you should really serve and greet." And I'm like, "Nope. Jerry would love that. Jerry, you can go." I'm like, "I don't really like people." And it's funny now, but it's sad because I believe that. I was led to believe that as a prophetic person, I didn't have to like people. But I said yes anyway because the pastor was sitting at my kitchen table. I did tell him, "I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it for you." And literally the first day I was like, "Oh, I like people." And then the Lord showed me, he's like, "I love people. How can you not love people? I am in you." And it's just been a fun ride ever since then. Like, I'm the biggest hugger now. I almost sometimes outdo Jerry in the hugs. I know that was stretching it. You're right. But, you know, that was the first place that I served. But then the most recent stuff is, you know, as you say yes to the Lord and you do it anyway, he's going to show you the character of him that is within you. I'm learning so much about who I am that I had no idea. And recently it's been more like serving my husband. God's putting us into full-time ministry together. And in my job, I started working from home. And when he's at home and I'm trying to work, we have a little bitty condo. It can get tough. But it's so good because the Lord is showing me all of the ways. He started showing me all the selfish ways that I am with myself. All the things, all my wants, needs, desires, and how I'm so self-serving. And I asked him to do that. I didn't ask him that specifically, but I said, "Lord, I want your love. I want to know your love so deeply." So he started showing me all this stuff. And so every single little thought, if you will ask God to show you, he'll show you every single little thing that you do. And it's not bad because he has to reveal it to you before he can walk it out with you, right? So, like, this is just an example, and it's kind of a little bit funny, but this is a tool of the Holy Spirit. You guys know what this is? Yes. This is a gift of, this is a tool of the Holy Spirit in my life. Because my husband loves to leave these for me all over my house. They're in the dryer. They're in the washing machine. They're in the cracks of the couch. They end up in the bed. They're in my car one day. I'm like, you haven't even been here, and here's the thing. He has them with him all the time. He's like, and then the sound, right? I'm like, sitting on the couch. And I'm like, so the Lord's like, serve him. So one night, he's taking a shower, and I was getting ready, you know, to eat. We sit on the couch, and we have our little spots, because that's what we do, because we're older. And the Lord's like, set up his little spot. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, go get him a toothpick. And I'm like, oh. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Because he eats, and then he likes to clean his teeth out. I should be happy. He's a very clean man. And I said, yes, Lord. Okay. I mean, now it's gotten to be where I'm just like, even things like this that get down to you, God's like, serve your husband. Go get him a toothpick. I'm like, all right. I go get a toothpick. I set it on there. Stuff all day long. Go wash his clothes. Go put this away. Do these dishes he didn't do. I'm like, okay, yes, Lord. And the more I do it, the more I want to do it because I'm serving him and I know that it's doing something in me. It's developing the character of God in me. It's showing me to how to go low, like Mariah said, how to be humble like Jesus did. And that is required. You're not going to get very far if you don't learn how to humble yourself. And it starts with obedience, because he will show you, but you have to say yes. You will be a toddler for the rest of your life if you don't. It reminded me of that because I was at my daughter's and she's got a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. And I'm like, Lord have mercy. I have been a troubled toddler until recently. I still feel like I'm just a brand new baby Christian. I better move this screen up or we're never going to get done. So when you start doing that, your eyes are open to a new perspective on the world and on yourself. You begin to see and believe who you are in Christ. And you begin to see others through that same lens that God does. Serving makes you confident and makes you want to serve and love more. One of the main things for me was you start to see yourself change and become the image of God that he sees you as. He already sees you as that. When you said yes to him, the old man died and is gone. And at that moment, what he sees is Jesus. Amen. Psalm 139, 13 and 14. We're going to read the same version, ESV. I had ESV on that one. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Paul said that we are being transformed. This is 2 Corinthians 3:18. Paul said that we are being transformed by going from glory to glory to a greater glory. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So I have a little grandson. Let me give you a little side note first before I say this. Most of you probably don't know this about me. This is just a quick couple minutes of my past. I grew up in an extremely dysfunctional household. My dad wasn't a part of it. My mom was an alcoholic and a drug addict. I lived in poverty. I was in a lot of foster homes as a child. And I'm 50-something, so that was a long time ago, so they don't even have the stuff that they had to try to protect. I don't even know what, you know. It was tough. It was tough. And then as I grew up, I started doing my own things. I mean, I've had addictions. I've done terrible things that are not in the character of God. Because I hated myself. I didn't know who I was, but I hated myself. I wasn't loved. I wasn't told I was beautiful. I wasn't told all of the things that a good parent tells their children. And the reason I'm telling you this, because I know that we have a lot of speakers that grew up in the church and grew up in the body of Christ, and that is important. But I didn't. I had nothing. So when I started following Jesus, I didn't care what anybody said. I didn't care about the religious people, because the religious people were telling me all kind of things that didn't go up with the word of God. And I'm like, no, this is what this Bible tells me. This is what I want. So it's made me passionate. I get really passionate. The other side of that is the not Jesus part, you know, that needs to go away, that God's cleaning out, is very passionate too. But I just wanted to give you that quick story about me, because when you hear about this, you're going to understand more that I know, you know, you can't be out there saying, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. You don't understand. Look at you. I get it. I know. And none of that really even matters, because he sees, he knows, he understands. That's what he's teaching me. So my grandson, I have another grandson in Mississippi. My firstborn son, his name is Nathan. He lives in Oxford, Mississippi. He's an athletic trainer at Ole Miss. And I'm so proud of him. He went there and did tennis for a while and cheerleading until, like, his goal, like, I want to be on that field. And he's on that field. So I watch all the Ole Miss games and be like, oh, there's Nathan. There's Nathan. Somebody get hurt. I can see Nathan. Not really, I'm kidding. I don't say that, I promise. But my grandson, his name is William, and he is 3. And Jerry and I were up there a couple months ago, or over there, whatever. Courtney knows I don't do that stuff. She had explained the continents to me, like, what, 2 weeks ago? Heidi pulled up her phone. She was like, what? I know. I didn't know Australia was down. I didn't know that. So anyway, we were getting ready to go to the football game. And of course, my son's wife, Courtney, and William, they have these badges. And it has their picture on it. And William, he looked at that and he said, oh, that's William. I'm like, yeah. He goes, that's me. I said, yeah. I said, do you love you? And he said, uh-huh. And all the way to the football field, he's like, that's me. That's William. And I'm like, yeah. And like on your phone, he loves, let me see. That's William. I'm like, yeah, isn't he amazing? Yeah. And I realized God brought that back to me when he was showing me that he wants to produce in me his image, because I am called to bear his image, because he made me in his image. And he wants to give me that revelation, right? In Romans 8, 5 through 9, in the Passion Translation, how do I move from being me focused to him? Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue the benefit, what benefits themselves. Is this getting to anybody? Yeah. It is. It's so good. Like, really, really and truly, all you got to do is read the Bible. Like, I'm not even I'm reading the Bible. That's it. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the sense and reason of the flesh is death. Death. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction. What does that sound like? Sounds like a toddler to me, because I've been seeing a lot of that in the last couple of days. But why does it do it? Because it can't. It can't do it because it doesn't know. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. Ooh. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not of him. You died with Christ when you said yes to him. All old things have passed away. You now live for Christ. You are not a slave. The enemy is a liar. In 2 Peter 1:3, in the ESV, it says, his divine power has granted to us all the things pertaining to life and godliness. I quote that all the time. And the other day I just was reading it and I'm like, oh, through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of him. I always say we have everything pertaining to life and godliness. It's on the inside of us. Through the knowledge of him. That's important. Who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of his divine nature. I wanted to read that because there was a time in my life where I already told you guys I didn't like myself. So I didn't even like to look in the mirror. I was literally a chameleon. Like when I was in high school and all that, I could like fit in with any crowd because I didn't know who I was. And I didn't like myself. I just wanted to be loved. I wanted somebody to love me. And I did a lot of things to get love that were not beneficial for me. But I just wanted love. And I didn't like myself and I didn't know who I was. And then I got, as an adult, I started going to this church and I remember for the first time loving myself, but I still didn't even know about the kingdom stuff. I didn't know about identity. I didn't know who I was in Christ. I just knew that there was this Jesus that died for me and I wanted to get saved every week because apart from that, there was nothing else going on in church. I mean, it was just a bunch of, you know, you can get healed a little bit, but you still got to do all this other stuff. And I mean, it just was like, I'm like, something's not right with this. And still, you know, I started reading the Word of God. But I wouldn't even like to look in the mirror. Like, especially when I would just cry because, spiritually speaking, because I didn't want to look at myself because I didn't like myself. I kid you not, I don't know, a couple months ago. I remember because I've been walking this out and serving, and I've been saying yes, Lord, to every single thing. I don't care if it's somebody on the road that's trying to cut you off. That's a tough one. I know it for everybody. But I'm telling you, when you obey God, it starts getting easier because you start seeing yourself differently. And I walked into Pastor David's house, and I was like, guess what? He goes, what? And I'm like, I'm so kind. And I meant that. And that is not pride. I started seeing myself as God does. That's humility. Because I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Christ in me. I'm so kind. I let somebody go. Because at that point, you know, when you're first being obedient, you know, it's like, yes, Lord. But that's where the key is, because you keep saying yes, Lord, and then it's like all of a sudden you're Courtney Phillips. I love this lady, and I'm telling you, I've never met a person like her. Watch how she does life, because she has the most innocent, pure heart for people. Her eyes are so Jesus on looking at people. And it's so scriptural. That's a gift that God has given her. And she's been serving the Lord a long time. And I'm not trying to give her, you know, creds. But I love to watch her because I learn from that. It's genuine. She doesn't struggle to do it. And as I kept saying yes to the Lord, then I really wanted that for people. I began to see people I don't know in cars. Come on, you know, who knows what they've been through? Who knows what they're going through when they walked in this door? Who knows what life's doing to them right now? Who knows what they're struggling with that they don't understand? That's the heart of God. That's what he wants to produce in you. That is the fruit that comes from the heart of God. So now, when I can look in the mirror, I wanted to bring a mirror, and I'm like, oh, it's too much trouble. I wanted to bring a mirror because I can literally, and this, I could have never told you this because I would have been so full of fear of what you're going to think or your opinion of me, and it just doesn't matter anymore because I know his opinion of me, and I know what he thinks of me, and I know what he has called me to do. So really, I'm almost 54 years old, and I'm just now in my life, I call myself a brand new baby believer, because I'm looking at myself, like, I can be like, oh my goodness, I look like Jesus. Hey. You're so beautiful. Close your eyes real quick. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, how do you see me? Just sit here and let him show you. How do you see me? If it doesn't look like Jesus, it's not God. Throw it out. Amen. It doesn't belong to you. Remember, you're dead. You have no equation in the whole thing. You're dead. God wants to show you. This is what I've been so passionate about. And I know that the key is humility. Serve everybody that you can serve. As much as you can serve. I mean, some people have to set up a church every week and need people to serve. It's the truth. If there is a need, God, I want to fill it because I know what you're going to do in me. And that's not about me, but I know what's on the other side. I know that that is required to produce the image of God. It's huge. That's how it's worked for me anyway. They didn't give me a time limit, so. I just wanted to share a couple of examples. I remember recently, Jerry probably gets super nervous when I speak because I'm about to share another story, okay, boo? Praise the Lord. Jerry and I got in this tiff, and our tiffs aren't even bad, but I don't even remember what it was. I think I was telling him something, and he was doing something, and not like even thinking and answering wrong. And I'm like, you're not even listening to me. I know we're the only ones. But anyway, that wasn't the point of it. But we both got we're both very intense people. God didn't give us our household a quiet, subtle one and a loud, obnoxious one. We got two leaders in my house that lead in our jobs. And we feel like people are supposed to do what we say, but God's, you know, showing us different. But anyway, the point of the story is I left because I had to be holy and go make the church deposit because I'm serving the church. And I had called and talked to a girl at one of the branches and found out she had cancer. And I'm like, girl, I'm coming. She's like, don't come. It's too far. I was like, there is nothing that I would rather do than to come and pray for you. And she's like, okay. And then we had the little disagreement, and I grabbed that bag, and I walked out. Went and prayed for my friend. The Holy Spirit was on me. How many know we can act stupid, but the Holy Spirit still shows up? That girl got saved. She got born again that day. So the enemy, I almost didn't go, because after that happened, I'm like, how am I going to go pray for somebody now? The Lord said, do it anyway. She got born again. And I came back, and on the way home, I was asking the Lord, why, and I'm sure there are people that can understand this. My inside, I didn't say a lot because I have a lot of control. Right? Getting better. I'm better at holding my tongue. But my insides, like, if my insides could have spoke, it would have been very vile. And that bothered me. I can work with being obedient to God. I can say, yes, Lord, and follow you out. But I said, God, what is this in me? Because it was it was burning. And it comes up a lot, right? I'm like, what is this, God? I know it's not you, and I don't want it. And he's like, lay it down. Lay down your need to be understood. And I'm like, but God, I'm trying, lay it down. Lay down your need to be heard. I hear everything. I understand everything. Lay it down. And so I got home and Jerry was working out or something and I was making my salad and I was looking out. We live on a lake and I was looking out how beautiful, and I didn't even want to live there. I was mad when we moved there. Listen, I'm telling you, God, it's so beautiful. And I just began to cry. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to miss this season. Thank you so much for giving us this place. I could just see Jesus out there. And I just stopped cutting. And I went and sat on the porch, or it's not a porch, lanai, that's what Florida has. And I went out there and I just sat down and I just started crying. And Jerry came out and he sat down next to me on the ground. And he put his arm around me, and we cried. And I told him what the Lord had shown me. And this happens all the time. Like, we share with each other what God is doing. So it's getting, so God has restored our relationship and our marriage because God's doing something in us individually. And so this is just like a brand new marriage all the time. And I was sharing to him what God showed me. I didn't have to be right. I didn't have to be understood. He didn't have to do the thing that I thought he should have to do. And he also showed me, you might be wrong. Maybe he wasn't acting some kind of way. Maybe I was thinking that because there's still something in me that God wants to set free. And I'm not going to know. I serve. My job is to serve. His job is to do. He does in me what needs to be done. My job is to lay my life down. And if Jesus did it, we can do nothing less. One time he went to go take a shower, and I've been working all day long, and he's going in the bathroom, and he's like, how about cutting up that avocado? I'm like, how about cutting up that avocado? Like, I just got done working and just sat on the couch. How about cutting up that avocado after he went and rode his bike and worked out? Oh, I'm sorry, you worked out. I'm playing. I'm not, but I am. So I was like, this is terrible. But we got to do this, right? We got to do life. So I was like, I don't want to say no. So I'm just going to go take a shower. Because if I take a shower, he'll get done. He'll cut up his own dang avocado, right? So then that's like a halfway good thing, right? So I'm in my room getting my clothes to take a shower. And the Lord's like, no. And I'm like, but God, this would be a funny story. He's like, no. I'm like, Lord, but he's like, no. And I'm like, so at that point, I was already getting in the shower. So I turn on worship music because I know that's another thing. Get in worship music. I turn on worship music. I'm in the shower. Lord, I am praising the Lord. I mean, I got the towel all over. I sound good. I'm praising the Lord in the shower. The Holy Spirit comes and ministers to me. I don't know what, but I just start crying. I'm just praising. And I get out and I forget all about it. I'm like, hey, babe. He gets out of the shower. I'm like, hey. And we're in the kitchen. I open the fridge. I'm like, you still need me to cut up this avocado? He's like, yeah. Because I got in the presence of God. It's so fun. It might not sound fun, but it is fun because the life is immediate. And the life will last if you continue to walk in that. I'm having the best time following Jesus. It is so fun. Pray and listen. I'm going to go through some of this stuff really quickly. Worship, that's very important. Anything that you can do to spend time with the Lord. If someone wants to serve you, the Lord just gave me this when I was writing this. If somebody wants to serve you, don't be like, no, you don't have to do that. Yes, you do. Let them serve you. They're being obedient to God. God's working something out in them. I keep pointing to you guys. Y'all must have a lot of stuff. I just realized I keep pointing over there. Y'all got a lot going on. These are my faithful mediums. I'm playing. Don't do that. That's not humility. That's pride, actually. Let somebody serve you. They want to buy your lunch? Let them buy your lunch. They want to give you $1,000? Let them give you $1,000. Seriously. Don't be like, no, it's okay. That's disgusting. Don't do that. Let them get the blessing of the God that they're trying to be obedient to. That was it. I'm serious, right? I heard somebody say this the other day. Whatever you are not changing, you are choosing. There is nowhere in this word of God that says you have to struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle with addiction. Well, all the things that aren't God. I was just like, addiction can encompass everything. I gave up Diet Coke recently. Why? Because it was an addiction. I couldn't stop drinking it. I'm not kidding you. I smoked at one time. It was just as hard as quitting smoking. But I said, no, that man is dead. This flesh that you have, it does what this and this tell it to do. It's not the boss. If somebody's telling you that, they lied. Addiction is from the devil, and you are seated at the right hand of God the Father in the kingdom, and there ain't no devil there. You are called to bring the kingdom to this earth, and there ain't no devil that can touch you there either. Anything that is not God, he might, and I'm not saying, well, yeah, I'm saying get rid of it. You know, I feel like when people preach, they're like, oh, you know, ask the Lord. I'm going to tell you what the Lord's going to say. Put it down. Turn off that pornography. Church can be an addiction. If it's not held in the right place, I think Mariah might have, who knows. Ask God what it is and lay it down. I had this like nervous habit of chewing on my lip. I've done it for years. Sometime after I met Jerry, it started. It did. I'm just telling you the truth. And I realized after I quit drinking Diet Coke, I just said, yes, Lord, I'm not going to drink it. Is it a sin for me not to drink Diet Coke? Yes, if the Lord told me not to drink it. But it's not healthy for my body. Am I judging you for anything you do? Nope. This is between me and God, all this. But that happened, and I'm like, one day I realized, because I do it all the time, not even realizing it, and I'm like, I don't have a nervous habit. I'm filled with the Holy God Almighty. I don't have to chew on my lip. And I didn't realize, it took me like 3 days. I mean, literally, I do it all the time, and I'm like, this is not of God. I don't have to do it. I can walk in complete freedom, and so can you. There is nothing holding you. You just have to say, yes, Lord. However the Lord wants to set you free of it, say, yes, Lord. You have authority. Your soul has to be obedient to the Holy Spirit that is on the inside of you. There's no excuses. That's it. It's true. It's true. Is God going to not love you if you don't quit doing whatever it is today? He's still going to love you. But y'all, you got this mirror standing right here. And you're not going to see yourself the way he sees you until he can start getting rid of that kind of stuff. Okay, you're being obedient. Okay, now I can use you here. Okay, you've done this. Now you understand my love because you've laid down your life and I can send you here. I can send you there. I can trust you because I know you're going to hear me and I know you're going to be obedient no matter the cost. Humility. Humility and honor. It's not a pride thing with God. It's who he is. That's why Jesus did it. To show you. He came here to show you all of that. I'm almost done. Get in the Word of God. Talk to him, worship, and just get quiet in here. I started reading on my Bible app. They have the New Testament in chronological order. I don't know that I've ever read the Bible in chronological order. I tried to do the Old Testament, but I said, that's going to have to wait. Let me try the New Testament. It's so cool because we throw out a lot of different scriptures and we do a lot of cross-references and stuff. But I'm telling you, I've been doing this for several months now, and like I feel like I know these guys. The reality of the fact that Jesus like literally was a person that walked on this earth, that Jesus, like I said that one time when I was hosting, Jesus really died on that tree. He was really here. Those apostles, they were really there. Me and Paul were tight. I'm like, bro, that's good. I'm going to have to get some Holy Spirit in me like that so I can write letters like that. I feel like I know them and I understand what's going on. And I know Jesus. Because that's who they're talking about. That's who we're talking about. That's how people are going to know about him because we're talking about him. Our life being lived out is how people are going to see Jesus. Because I bet you, if you start asking him like I've been doing, you're going to be like, oh, Lord, I need you. Like, there's a lot. I'm so selfish. Here's my life, Lord. Help me with this. Because I don't know what to do because I've lived my entire life like this. And I thought I was so humble. It's like when Pastor, that's funny because Pastor David said last week when I was like, I win because I clapped the longest. He's like, oh, yeah, you're the most humble one in the group. And I'm like, ooh, that's what I'm preaching on. Humility, a lot of people have heard this. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less, right? So you can have a godly perspective on who you are, and that's powerful. But it also means you're going to lay down your life, and that's how people are going to know that you love God, by how are you serving. And I didn't mean to say if you don't serve on Sunday, you know, there's God's got everybody in different stages in their life. You've got different things that God is telling you to do. But if God tells you to do it, you better do it. God gets it all done. Be free from pride-filled opinions. This is Philippians 2, 3 through 5. For they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts. But in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. And consider the example of Jesus, the anointed one, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. I talked about at the beginning how Jesus came, and the very last thing that he did was the Last Supper with his disciples. And the Bible talks about how they were reclining. I didn't even know this till I was studying it. So that all the pictures that we see where they're sitting at a table, you know, with their little chairs, they were reclining. So probably had like a pillow. It was probably a low table. And it says they were reclining at the table. I'm thinking recline, but no. And they were probably leaning. So they're all like facing each other, kind of leaning. And Jesus starts washing their feet. And the only people that washed feet back then were the slaves, like the lowest of the low. Because their feet were dirty, y'all. You've seen their little sandals they wore. Probably some of them didn't even wear those. They were walking in them all day. Their feet were dirty. And the slaves were the ones that would come and wash the feet. And Jesus started washing the feet. I think it was Peter or somebody that said, no, or John, or I don't know who it was. They're like, no, Lord, you can't wash my feet. He said, I have to. I have to wash your feet. So can imagine what that looked like. They're all around this table and they're all like leaning in. So they're probably all facing each other as Jesus is. And it took a long time to wash their feet. And Jesus humbled himself and he's washing their feet. And then he gets to Judas and he's at the table. And he knows what Judas is about to do. And he washes his feet. Judas was at that table and Jesus served him because that's the heart of God. And then the next day, Jesus was crucified for you. His entire purpose that he came so that you could be one with him, so that you could become what he created you to become, which is to be his image bearer. You look like Jesus. You look like Jesus. Every single one of you looks like Jesus. And he wants to show you that. It is so freeing. It is so fun. And I know I keep saying that, and parts of the stories don't sound fun. One more scripture. John 13:34. So I give you now a new commandment. Love each other as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, and everyone will know that you are my true followers. Jesus set a new standard of love. This is the standard now. To use his love measured by how we love one another. Think about friends, parents, peers at work. How can you focus on and serve them? Be intentional about practicing humility daily. Ask the Lord. And then be willing to say yes, Lord. James 4:10 says, be willing to be made low before the Lord and he will exalt you. Humility is produced by knowing God and placing great importance on every person. I don't want you to come out here yet. I just want everybody to stand up and I want to say a prayer over you. I was going to say, I used to have a James on here and thought it was lost. I want you guys to close your eyes. You have become, let's see, wrong one. Keep your eyes closed. Don't look. Sorry, it's not in James. Dear friends, my name is Paul, and I was chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus, the Messiah. I'm writing this letter to all the devoted believers who have been made holy by being one with Jesus, the Anointed One. May God himself, the Heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, release grace over you and impart total well-being into your lives. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all of our hearts. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his holy ones. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him. Lord, I just thank you so much for you, for who you are, and for what you do. Holy Spirit, I thank you that in the midst of this message that you imparted things in each and every one of us because you love us and we desire you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you always are here and you're always faithful and that you're willing to commune and you want to commune. Father, I pray that these words would not fall on deaf ears, but would be walked out. I thank you, God, for the testimonies that we will hear, that we will hear from every single person in the sound of my voice, whether in this building or on podcasts, because it is your desire for us to walk in the complete fullness of who you are and go out and serve others so that they can know who you are. We love you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you. That was a word, man. That was straight from the heart of God. Before we dismiss, I want to let you know some deadlines that we have coming up. Ladies in the house, we have our annual women's retreat, but the final day to register is today. There's a $50 deposit that's needed for that. So to register, ladies, for the women's retreat, visit the website, realchurch.us, and on the drop-down menu, click on Connect. That'll take you to actually all of you. That's almost a menu of what's happening at Real Church and how you can get connected. In a group this size, we kind of have to keep it all digital, and so that is the best way that we found to do it for now. So definitely visit the site, realchurch.us, and click on the drop-down menu and click on Connect to sign up for all the things. Also, what she was saying, if I think that serving in the church is a stepping stone into serving with our lives. Some of us grew up in the church and it's just all we know how to do is we serve the local church. It's something that we're called to do as believers. And so if that's you and you're saying like, I'm ready, I want to do that, I want to take part in this during the week on Sundays, maybe once a month. If that's something you want to do, the first step into doing that is to joining us for our monthly established dinner. That's going to happen next week. And registration is also on the website by clicking on Connect. Again, all of our signups, our prayer team, our Belong, which goes out into the community ministering to people and discipling new believers, all of those signups are on the website by clicking on Connect. Thank you guys so much. Y'all have a wonderful and safe week. You are dismissed.